91.3 KXEI Tucson, Real People, Real Radio. Tucson, and it's Sunday afternoon. You know what that means. It's time for Broad Perspectives Radio. This is Kathy Harris and
Aspen Green.
And we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, which is a program by women, about women, but
for everyone.
And today we have as our guest Kirmi Wollenhaus, an award-winning author about some very interesting topics. So stay tuned. Okay, Aspen, have at it.
Okay, let's give them something to talk about. So today we do have Kirmi Wollenhaus. She's a PhD and an award-winning author, angelologist, and clairvoyant, and has authored Shopping with the Virgin Mary and How to Talk and Actually Listen to Your Guardian Angel, which is available in Spanish, French, German, and Dutch. Dr. Wollenhaus has edited and annotated foundation texts for the field of angelology called Angels in Sacred Texts series, which includes The Complete Reference to Angels in the Bible, A Quick Reference Guide to Angels in the Bible, The Complete Reference to Angels in the Book of Mormon, and The Complete Reference to Angels in the Quran. She just received notice that her newly released book, Shopping with Angels, was awarded honorable mention at the 2006 San Francisco Book Festival, and that book is called Shopping with the Virgin Mary. Her website is www.kirmiwollenhaus.com, and we will get to that later in the show for the spelling. First of all, congratulations on winning the award at the San Francisco Book Festival. That's quite an honor. And we'll also be talking later about your book signings that are coming. One is coming up on Friday, May 27th, but welcome to our show, Kirmi.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Okay. Let's start out with what your relationship is and how did it begin with the Virgin Mary?
Well, I didn't really know of her until just, you know, growing up and you see the Virgin Mary is on Christmas nativity scenes and you know that she's the mother of Jesus. And then one time I was doing some spiritual healing. I was teaching it. And I was getting leg cramps. So I went to a Chandler, and they said, you need leather-sole shoes. And so I went to, I just looked up to the universe and said, is there anyone there? I have taught intuitive development, and I'm a good interdimensional communicator, I guess, is what they call it. And I said, is there anybody that would like to go shopping with me? And the Virgin Mary showed up. And I'm like, great.
Okay. So is the Virgin Mary what you would call a spirit guide? She's not an angel because angels were never human. So what is the Virgin Mary?
The Virgin Mary would be considered an ascended master because she is of high service. And the feminists are very interesting. I'm a theorist. I study and research angels, and now I'm studying Virgin Mary. But she... it goes on an evolutionary track that in order to bring in such a Christed one, as we know Jesus to be, she's a female Christed one as well. She had to be pretty special for that. So she is an ascended master. I asked her once, though. I said, is it sacrilegious for me to ask you to go shopping? And she said, she talks to me and intuitively, and she said, oh, yes, dear, I'd be delighted. She calls me dear a lot, so it's really fun.
Okay, so I have to ask the question, how did you develop the ability to talk to spirit guides and angels and ascended masters?
I had always been clairsentient, and clairsentient is that I'm empathic to people's feelings. When I would go to school, I would just go home and I'd be so drained as a little child, and I knew when somebody had a headache or was angry or things like that. And so when I grew up, I didn't know how to protect myself. I just kind of ran into a lot of people who were psychics, and I read some books, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I have this. So I went to school, actually, and sat at the feet of psychics and spiritual healers and mediums, and said, okay, help me develop this.
So your first book, How to Talk and Actually Listen to Your Guardian Angel, is quite fascinating. Does everybody have a guardian angel?
Yes, everyone does. And even the grass in and our cactus in our front yards has angels over them that help them grow. That's what's really nice about this. The book was started because I was teaching a workshop, and I can only take care of about 20 participants and 20 angels. That's about my max. And so I thought, and there was so many people who were clamoring for this information, I thought, I got to get this out on book. So what this book is it's a workshop in print. And within 4 hours or after reading this, you will be talking actually to your guardian angel if you do the directions.
Okay, let me ask you, what do guardian angels do? Are they there to protect us?
Mm-hmm. They are. That's one of their kind of job descriptions. Guardian angels have job descriptions. So our guardian angel, we are their charge, which I like that word, that they say they kind of elbow each other when we do something that's in alignment with our heart. They say, look at my charge. And they just kind of boast about that to each other. But they allow us, they know our soul mission. So prior to birth, we have this soul mission that we're supposed to be accomplishing. And we think it's, oh, you know, get all this stuff and die. But it's really not that way. It's about, you know, developing our soul evolution. And so they know our soul mission. So they help guide us. They can't do it for us, but they can give us a series of lessons or just kind of illuminate the path. They also do protect us. So if we are going to die before our soul mission, they will come actually in physical body and say, no, stop, or do something. And there's a lot of books written about that too. But they're here. Everyone's guardian angel, we pick them before birth. And we did it because they had a certain energy to help us with our soul mission. So some people really are here for, I just need to know more about love. And so they might have a loving, or they're here to be of service and healing. So there may be a healing guardian angel. So it's very fun. I do angel readings, and I, you know, poke into their angels, and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this angel you have. So it's, I would just want to say one other thing. The bigger the service you are, the more angels you have.
There are a lot of angels, or do we share angels?
Well, that's a good question. No, we don't usually share angels. Sometimes twins, you know, or people that are very close, you would think that maybe they had the same soul mission, but they don't. Every person has a different angel. I've never seen an angel that's over, you know, two or three people. Now, archangels are a whole different story. If you may have Archangel Michael, but you could be a police person or a someone in the military or something like that, and you've called them in, or that's their job description. Archangel Michael is always about protection.
Okay. Many people believe that angels are either made out of light or work within the light when they visit Earth. How do you believe they manifest themselves? What are they made of?
In a long time ago, Thomas Aquinas would ask the leading philosophers, so Socrates, you know, different folks, about, and you may have heard this, how many angels can be on the end of a pin? And he would say that, are they form, are they energy? And now that we understand electricity and energy, and we know that we have energy bodies and things like that, and, you know, acupuncture works with our, you know, meridians and things, but ley lines and all that. So we know about energy now. So we're a little bit more open that they are an energy They're non-physical, but they can come into physical body. It would be, I always just say, it's kind of like us if we ate, I don't know, 20 hot dogs or something. It doesn't feel good. And so it's dense energy for them. As you get closer to the divine, which they're on the interdimensional scale, their energy is finer, which means that they have a vibration that's increase in frequency and vibration. And so they're closer and they're loving. I like that. But they can come into denser energy. It just, you know, they don't like to do it. They like us to meditate and meet them halfway if we can.
So are they clever and meaningful, or are they whimsical?
Oh, they're so fun, and they're so creative. I have to spend some time when I'm talking to somebody's angel, and when we're in a workshop where 20 people really get to tell what they're seeing and hearing from their angel, we're all like, wow, that was great. They're amazing. And so intelligent, creative, they can use anything. We're kind of stuck on the physical plane. So, you know, we have time and space. They do not. So they'll use anything to get their point across. And they're always loving and they're always encouraging.
And that I would assume that they can come to us in a dream then?
Oh, yes. They love dreams. So if you go to bed with a problem and you just kind of turn it over and let it go, you will find that sometimes the next morning, they like to wake me up at 4 a.m., unfortunately, but it's okay because I'm not thinking about, you know, what I'm going to do today. But anyway, you'll wake up with the answer.
How do I know that I have a guardian angel, and how would I go about trying to contact one?
Well, that's kind of exactly why I put this book together. And anybody, we're all psychic. We all have subtle senses. We all have intuitive kind of hits. We all have gut feelings, things like that. But it's nice to develop them in a way that you can hear them a little bit clearer. And what's really good about angels, they don't ask us how we want to communicate with them. We have to listen to how they want to communicate with us. So what I would like to do is just write it in red lipstick on my bathroom mirror every morning, and that would be great. Or just talk to me like I would talk to you. But no, mine talks in different ways. And so what's nice about this book is by the end of the exercises, it has very easy step-by-step exercises that I really ask that you write them down. And then you can see how they want to communicate with us. Because sometimes people will say, well, I just want them to manifest and, you know, talk to me. And I say, you know, they probably aren't going to do that. They're going to make you work for it. And that would be easier because then you know it's from them and it's not you manifesting it out of your head.
So guardian angels are there with us before we're born. So in any way, do they actually tell us what our life purpose is? Are they guides in that way?
That's a good question, because many clients will come and they'll say, I want to know my life purpose. Oh, my God, am I on the right path? And of course, I'll ask. Anything you want to know, I'll ask them. And they kind of giggle because they can only do divine will. They can always do the highest and the best for us. And our purpose is really to go with our heart. But what I do, and so I'll say, you know, guardian angel, what is their life purpose? And they won't say anything usually. But I say, this is what I'm going to ask. And I'll say to the clients, this is what I'm going to ask. This gets me more information than anything. And this is what we're here for. I'll say, can you give us 3 to 5 next steps towards her divine purpose or her soul mission or her purpose in life? And oh, they're all about that. They'll just rattle out a whole bunch of stuff. It's really great.
Okay, well, Kathy, what do you think about calling in the angels?
Well, I think that we should be calling in angels. We'll do that right now. And while they're coming, we'll ask Kermie about the song. This is a song called Calling All Angels, and it's by sung by Jane Silbury with Katie Lang, and it's from a CD called In Search of Angels. Kermie, do you want to tell us why you chose the song?
When I start a workshop, and I'm a founder and director of the School of Angel Studies, and when I was doing that, I'm on sabbatical now writing books, but when I was having my classes in intuitive development and my workshop, I would always start with this song. And I'd say, now sing along with the chorus, because it's very easy. And that really changed the energy. So I brought it today because for your listeners, let's see if it can change their Sunday afternoon energy today. So,
okay, well, thank you, Kermie. And it's a beautiful song. Let's listen to Calling All Angels.
Hear the church bells start to ring. And as the heaviness, oh, the heaviness, the body settles in. Somewhere you can hear a mother sing. Then it's one foot, then the other, as you step out on the road. Step out on the road. How much weight? How much? Then it's how long and how far and how many times. Oh, before it's too late. Call all angels. Call all angels. Walk me through this wild. Don't leave me alone. Call all angels. Call all angels. We're trying, we're hoping, but we're not sure how. On every day you gaze upon the sunset with such love. Why, it's almost as if you could only crack the code, then you'd finally understand what this all means. Ah, but if you could, do you think you would trade it all the pain? Suffering. Ah, but then you'd miss the beauty of the light upon this earth, and then the sweetness of the leaving. Calling all angels, calling all angels, walk me through this world.
Perspectives Radio, did we 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm here, Aspen Green, here with Kathy Harris of Broad Perspectives Radio, and our guest today is Kermie Woolenhouse, PhD. She's an award-winning author, angelologist, and clairvoyant. And welcome to the second half of our show.
I want you to say angelologist five times really fast.
I'm glad I said it one time slowly. You said you sat at the feet of mediums and psychics. Do you want to tell us about your education?
Yes. I will. I have a master's in divinity from a very traditional but liberal Methodist college, Iliff School of Theology. So I have an MDiv there. And then I loved them because they were very open, but it was just a solid, good, practical kind of religious Christianity education. And then when Harvard Divinity School would have taught me how to talk to angels, I would have gone there, but they were very steeped in theology. So I found a school, which I didn't really find. I just asked the universe, of course, okay, where do you want me? I'm reading these metaphysical books. I'm reading these intuitive development books. Where would you like? I should get a PhD in this. And where in the world would I get that? And I just kept getting these messages, go to Clearwater, Florida, go to Clearwater, Florida. I knew no one in that area. And so I moved there just on spirit. And so when I got there, I was all, you know, the pictures were on the walls. I was all moved in, and I said, okay, I'm here. Now what? And I picked up one of those magazines, kind of like Natural Awakenings, and I opened it up, and I was just looking at it, and there was a little ad that said, you know, different degrees at the College of Metaphysical Studies, and there was a PhD. And so I went that next day, and they said, classes start tomorrow night. And it was great. And so I sat in a lot of dark rooms talking to spirit with people. And as your kind of your graduation, you have to do psychic readings on this whole table full of psychics and mediums and talk to spirit. And so it's very hands-on, but it's also a lot of paperwork. My reference guides, Angels in the Bible, Angels in the Quran, and Angels in the Book of Mormon, are some of my PhD studies and research.
Okay. Well, I was going to talk about that because I've done some research on angels in the last few days to prepare for this, and I saw that angels exist in most religions. Religious texts such as the Bible and the Quran mention angels like Archangel Gabriel delivering prophetic messages about the future events. Jewish tradition says that when Jews perform one of the God's commandments, they call guardian angels into their lives to accompany them. In Hinduism, believers say that every living thing, person, animal, or plant, has an angelic being called a deva, assigned to guard it and help it grow and prosper. And in Islam, believers say that God assigns two angels to accompany each person throughout his or her life, one to sit on each shoulder. Do you believe that God assigns angels? And why do you think angels are here?
Angels are created by the divine. So I'm a theorist, and this is the most common, most well accepted theory, is that angels were created by the divine to be between the divine and creation. Now, when we think of creation, we think of planet Earth. But when you think of the cosmos and all that, you think, oh my gosh, creation is fairly large, and we're just this little speck. But let's just come back down to Earth. And yes, angels are over everything. And Finhorn, Paralandra, there's a lot of great research about angels, angels over landscapes. You have an angel of your house. So when you walk into your new home, you go, oh, this is it. That's your angel saying, yes, this is it. And the house angel's like, oh, thank God you found me. You know, here I am. So they are over everything. The first, you're right, all those religions have, I always say I want to acknowledge and really say yay for folks who have had angel experiences, because they're all true. Religions, yes, they give us a little bit of insight into angels. The first angel kind of encounter with humans, and that's what we kind of talk about, was 6,000 years ago. There was a cave painting of a winged being. And so they called it a goddess, but angelologists think that possibly it was an angel at that point. But yes, they are, you're exactly right. They're everywhere.
And do they communicate with each other?
Yes, they do. And in fact, if you've got a problem, I always love this, because when you get married or you fall in love, a new angel comes in just to maintain that. That's their job description, is to maintain that. So if you've got a problem with your spouse or your partner and you're just not working it out very well, have your angel talk to their angel and talk to the angel in between.
Instead of talk to Click, talk to my angel.
Yes. Where were you years ago when I needed to know this information?
I know. So from what you're saying, it gives me the impression, are all angels good?
I only work with the good angels. I always like the angels of light. Yes, people will always ask, well, what about the fallen angels, blah, blah. And I just don't even want to go there. There's lots of really good literature out there. So if you really want to delve into that, there's tons. Divine Comedy, there's just all kinds of great stuff about that.
So let's get back to shopping with the Virgin Mary. Can you leave us with a short story from your book?
Yes. Book is short stories, actually. So, when you write a book, you don't really have somebody reading them right away and then telling you feedback. So I've written this book. And so one of my Amazon reviews, I really liked it because the woman or whoever it was said, this is a great book to read at night before I go to bed. It's short stories. I also say you can take this on the airplane. You can put it in your bag. It's just like there in your Kindle, of course, anywhere. But anyway, one of the stories, there's shopping experiences in there, but it's a lot about information, some eclectic, fun information. And I like to put a little humor wherever I am. The one story is Mary in the bathtub. Okay. Here it is. I have a postcard of the Virgin Mary statue standing in a half-buried bathtub shrine in the front yard. In the background is a storm-shattered home. All is a wreck except for Mary. I always look for the message, and this one is very clear. Don't leave Mary standing in the bathtub in the front yard. Take her into the house where she can do some good. Bring her as close as you can. Put her in the car. The driver's seat would be a good place, unless you're the passengers, and then move her over to your lap. Get little Marys. Keep them in your pocket. Proximity is safety. This is a powerful message not to be missed. I read an article in the paper about another house that had the Virgin Mary bathtub shrine. This time it was in the backyard, and a big fire broke out in the basement. All was burnt to the ground, and the picture in the paper showed the Virgin clean and unscathed, but the home was leveled. If only they'd seen the postcard of the storm-shattered house. Why didn't anyone tell her the power of Mary? Let this be a warning to you. Take her everywhere. Everywhere. Put her in the house, over the fireplace, in the kids' rooms, by the dog's bowl. Keep a Virgin Mary magnet on the refrigerator door and one in the stackables. Put them somewhere, everywhere, but put them in the house. Consider yourself warned.
All right. Well, we're kind of out of time, but I did want to really quickly mention again that you will be at Antigone Books on Friday, May 27th at 7 p.m. And you'll also be at The Spirit's Child on Saturday, May 28th from 12 to 2.
That's great. Kermit, thanks so much. That was such an interesting interview.
You're welcome.
I just loved it. And I'm curious about these books, so I think I'll come to one of your book
signings. Let me just also, because I did say I'd do this, it's www.kermie, K-E-R-M-I-E, WOHLENHAUS.com or the KermieAndAngels.com. Those are her websites.
All right. Thank you. And thank you all out there for listening to us today. And come and listen to us every Sunday at 3 o'clock, Broad Perspectives Radio. That's a program by women, about women, but for everyone. So hope to see you next week again. And in the meantime, stay tuned because next up we have Amanda Schauger with 30 Minutes.